For you see, my sons and my daughters, you are pioneers. That is why the road sometimes is very dark, because you are paving the way, my sons and daughters, for the great harvest. Bah, even in this place, you are paving the way for a great harvest. Do not get weary of doing well. Do not get weary, but even stand and declare the glories of the Lord day in and day out. Declare the harvest. Declare the increase. Declare the blessing. Declare the love. Declare the harvest over your life. And I will perform that which you declare, says the Lord. As you speak it out, as you prophesy it, as you speak it out, it will come to pass, says the Lord. So even now, stand and declare that the harvest is here. Stand and declare that the blessings are coming. Stand and declare that you have all that you need. Stand and declare, for haven't I not said in my word, speak to the mountain and it shall be removed, says the Lord. So I say to you this day, speak to the mountain, speak to the unbelief, speak to the poverty, speak to the sickness, speak to the lack of love, speak to the loneliness, and it will depart from you, says the Lord. I command in the name of Jesus those blessings to come to you this day. The Father says that those blessings are coming to you this day. They are coming to you this day. Stand up, stand up, stand up. The Lord says they're coming to you this day, but we need to declare it. We need to declare it out of our mouth. Declare the financial blessings. Declare the abundance. Declare it out of your mouth. Declare it out of your mouth. The Lord says, speak to the mountain and say, be removed and be cast into the sea. And if you do not doubt in your heart, but you believe that what you say will come to pass, you will have whatsoever you say. Whatsoever you say will come to pass. For the enemy has to flee as you declare the word of the Lord today. We're going to declare the Lord's word over our life. We're going to declare the word of the Lord over our children, over our finances, over our habitation, over this church. We are pioneers, the Lord says. We're pioneers. We're declaring the way. We're moving back the weeds. We're taking a machete and we're cutting through all the darkness. We're taking a machete and we're cutting through all the weeds. We're cutting down the trees. We're moving back things. We're moving mountains out of the way because we are pioneers. We're doing what God has called us to do. So don't be weary of well-doing, the Lord says, for in due season you will reap. Just praise him. Just praise him right now. Let Jesus be everything to you. Let him be everything to you. Let his love be everything to you. Let his presence be everything to you. Let his overwhelming grace be everything to you right now. And declare that word that he says. For in the power of his spirit, God will move mountains. It will happen in Jesus' name. It will happen. Declare it, declare it, declare it out of your mouth. Declare it. If your children aren't living for God, declare it. If your wife is not living for God, declare it. If your family is not living for God, declare it. If your finances are bleak and destructive, declare it out of your mouth. Declare it out of your mouth that you have abundance. Declare it. Just declare it. Say what you know God's promises are and say it out of your mouth. Just say it out of your mouth and declare it over and over and over and over again. God says he will do it. He will perform his word. Father, right now, whatever the situation may be, individually for each person, we declare the blessing right now. We declare it in the name of Jesus. We declare the blessing. And we do not give up our faith, but we know, God, that through the power of the word, that life and death are in the power of the tongue. We speak the words of eternal life right now. We speak them out over our children, over our wife, over our husband, over our finances, over our health, over our relationships, over our job. Lord, we want to be what you've called us to be. God, we speak it out right now. We declare Jesus is more than enough. He is. He is more than enough in every area of our life. He is more than enough. He is more than enough. Just right now, out of your mouth, declare Jesus as more than enough. Jesus is more than enough. He provides everything that I need. He gives me joy unspeakable and full of glory. He rains his blessing upon me, spirit, soul, and body. Just declare those words. Declare it. And God says he will perform it. Hallelujah. That is his word to us today. I heard him speak that. So I want you to understand, though the way may be bleak sometimes, God says you're a pioneer. This church is a pioneering spirit. It has a very strong pioneering spirit. And sometimes you got to get out that machete and you got to clear out the weeds. You got to pull down the darkness. You got to speak it out. You got to declare those things that be not as though they were. And just speak it out. Just speak it out. And don't get weary. Don't get weary of doing well, because God says he knows. He knows the time. He knows the season. Hallelujah. Let's just praise him for the glory of God. He knows. He knows. Praise God.
All right, I just receive everything God has for me, right? Turn to somebody and say, I receive everything God has for me. All right, and you can be seated. And that's a lot of stuff. That is a lot. So I've just been negligent myself, just believing God for all of his good things, and so that I can be rich in his goodness, to be able to spread the joy and the love and the abundance that God has around. So always continue to press in to all that God has for you. Well, we're thankful that you're here today. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving, did you? Yeah, I know that some of you who came out on Wednesday night enjoyed our fellowship time and our time of testimony. And it was an uplifting, encouraging time for everyone. So hopefully you survived your relatives and you got them all saved. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, holiday season is a time for family many times, and that could be a good thing or a bad thing, but, you know, just Pastor Lori and I prayed before all of our family came over, and we just said, Lord, we just want to obviously be a light and an example to them, and so we just pray that you can continue to do that, that the holidays is like almost even a mission field time where people's hearts are more open to even the message of the gospel because of what we're celebrating. So use that to our advantage. Well, we're going to go ahead and give you an opportunity today to give with your tithes, your offerings, your love gifts to the Lord, to bring your first fruits to him as he asks us to do. So if you need an offering envelope for a record of your giving, go ahead and lift up your hands, and the ushers, hosts, and hostesses will do that for you. The big announcement I would like to make is that we are having a baptism next Sunday, and we had a lot of people who have signed up, and so what I'd like to do is put a, what I'd like to do is have a meeting after the service today to talk about baptism, what that process looks like, what we're going to be experiencing next Sunday, and so there's a lunch and everything, so you're all welcome to join us if you want to be baptized. You know, you don't have to have belonged to this church for a long time, or you maybe have belonged to this church forever, and you've just never had the been baptized. So I do Nike baptisms. You know what that is, right? Nike, just do it. Just do it, baby. God, look, Jesus commanded it, you know, and if you're in church, you always want to say, I do whatever Jesus tells me to do. Well, you're in church, and Jesus told you to be baptized, so there's no excuse, right? Well, I was baptized as an infant, so how'd that go for you? That's okay. You probably got blessed, and the means of grace worked in your heart. But Jesus said you should believe and then be baptized. So we practice believer's baptism, and we also believe that that has an impact on your spiritual life that cuts off the old man that when you came to know Christ, you need to reflect that in your faith with him so you're baptized and then raised to life. So we'll be talking about that more after church today. And so we encourage you to come out if you'd like to. Are you ready to give? Amen. All right, let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity today as we bring our tithes and offerings. You said, Lord, to bring the full tithe into the storehouse that there might be meat in your house. And we thank you as we do this to honor you, that you rebuke the devourer and that you pour out blessings that we can't even contain. And so we claim those today, Lord, as we give. You said to test you, and so we do so. Lord, we put you to the test and say, thank you for your blessings overtaking me, for overwhelming me, and for just saturating every part of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, go ahead and receive that. We still have our Wednesday night Bible study for a few more weeks on Romans. And this has been an awesome study, so come on out, 7 o'clock. It's a Bible study. We also have prayer and discussion about the things we're teaching. It's just been a very rich Bible study, so I encourage you, if you have time, to come out and be fed the Word of God. So, I think Pastor Lori is continuing the eternal gospel, and here she comes. So, all right, tell her you love her as she comes out here. All right.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome. For the Holy Spirit is welcome here in this place. The power of God's covenant is here to be established in the body. The Lord says, hear, O house of Israel, tell the children of Israel, I bore you on eagle's wings. Now, therefore, obey my voice and keep my covenant, and you shall be my special people. That's what the Lord says. Obey my covenant. Obey my covenant, and you shall be my special people. Obey my covenant. Heavenly Father, I pray right now that the power, Lord, of your covenant would be manifest in this house today. Father, I pray that your Spirit, God, would overshadow each and every person, God, that there would be an understanding of your divine grace and mountain-moving favor, God, that comes today. God, that there would be no weapon that ever, from this day forward, ever formed against them that would prosper because of this word that is spoken today. Father, that it would be a radiant light, God, in their hearts, that you would illuminate this beautiful message, God, that you would illuminate it, because it is the very essence of who you are. Illuminate this in the heart and life of every person today by the blood of Jesus. I thank you for it. Amen and amen. Today I'd like to talk to you about mountain-moving faith, mountain-moving grace. God is going to ordain something very special for you today, and so I want you to hear the word of the Lord today. This is the power that God says, mountain-moving grace, mountain-moving grace, to destroy every mountain, to lay it low. Literally, as a pioneer, sometimes you go in places where there's total darkness, and we are called to be the light of the world. And so you're going to face difficulties, you're going to face situations that you don't understand sometimes, but the beauty of it is that you always have God's grace with you. Always. And today the power of covenant love is going to be understood. Covenant is the highest form of mutual commitment and unity that any two individuals can express. Covenant. Covenant, once again, I'm going to say it again, is the highest form of mutual commitment and unity that any two people can express. The word covenant actually means to fetter together. Through covenant, we share in God's grace. In the Old Testament, Covenant was very important. Covenant was much more understood in the old days and old-fashioned times than it is nowadays. Covenant is not understood even in the local church, and it's a sad indictment, and it grieves the Holy Spirit. But I want to tell you something today that makes the Holy Spirit happy. You. You make him happy. You make him happy every time you faithfully come to the church to honor people and to love them and to be in covenant with them. You make God very happy. You make him so happy, because covenant is when two or a group of people come together and fetter themselves together for one cause and one purpose, and that's to be joined together in unity for the purpose and plan of God. And that's what we are in. We are in covenant together. In covenant, you give up a part of you to be joined together with someone else. Okay? You give up certain things in order that another person may have something. And they give up something in order for you to have something. In the Old Testament, what they would give up is their sandal. They would take off their sandal and pass it to one person and say, I give this to you as a form of my love for you, in covenant with you. This is in friendship, so that you and I agree together that we're going to walk the extra mile for each other. We're going to walk the extra mile. We're going to go the extra mile. And that's why that sandal was given, so that they would go the extra mile. A sword also was given. It would pass between them in form of covenant, and they would take a large, very large sword, and they would pass it between them, and that would represent that any enemy that is your enemy is my enemy, and any enemy that is my enemy is your enemy. And they would fight together. They wouldn't kill their wounded. They would fight together. If they heard of someone that was grieved, you know, they wouldn't judge one another. They wouldn't blame one another. They would fight for one another. That's covenant. Covenant, there are many kinds of covenants, and let me share with you illustrations of covenants throughout Scripture. Do you know that there are covenants that could be evil? Quite a few covenants are evil. In fact, there was a covenant that was brought together before Paul was almost killed. And they were in covenant with one another. They were actually fasting and praying that Paul would be killed, and they were going to murder him. That's an evil covenant. They fettered together, and nobody in the covenant, a group of people, they neither ate nor drank until they were going to try to kill Paul, and that's what they decreed. That's an evil covenant. Now let me talk to you about some of the covenants that were good. Father Abraham. God made a covenant with Father Abraham. And we literally are under that covenant of Abraham. We're under the Abrahamic covenant, not the Mosaic covenant. We're under the Abrahamic covenant. And that's a beautiful thing, because the circumcision of our heart makes us separate from the world. And when we come out from the world and we are separate from the world, we receive the freedom from the curse of the law. The Bible says, because we're under Abraham's covenant, we're under the covenant of Abraham, that Bible says that we no longer have to have the curse of the law. Wow. The curse of the law is no longer ours. We do not have to live under bondage and that curse of that law that so many of us live heavily under. You know what? It's not about our do. It's about who we are in Christ. And that frees us up. So many of us do not understand unconditional love until we understand covenant. We cannot understand unconditional love unless we understand God and his promise to us of covenant. He cut covenant with us. He said, even if you're not faithful, I will be faithful to you. Powerful. That's a powerful promise. That's the power of God's grace, his abiding grace with us. And that's interesting, because Many people step out of covenant. They step out of covenant when they walk away from God, or they walk away from a church, or they walk away from a relationship. But God wants us to understand covenant is where all the blessings are. Abrahamic covenant, God cut that covenant with Abraham, and he literally, Abraham was put to sleep when that covenant was cut. And God passed through that covenant with a promise to Abraham that even if you're dead, I will keep covenant with you. That makes me cry. That makes me weep when I understand the unconditional love of God, that nothing can separate us from God's love. God put Abraham to sleep, and he said, I'm going to cut this covenant with you, Abraham, and I will be faithful to you even when you're not faithful, even when you're sleeping, even when you're dead in your sins. I will remain faithful. Now that's something that we need to understand, that this is called the unconditional love of God. And when we come into the understanding of how God loves us like that he loves us even when we're dead in our trespasses and sins, that nothing will stop us from becoming what we're called to be. There is a covenant that God cut with his people. The people of Israel were in bondage, and the king of Egypt was ruling at the time, but the people were groaning in bondage and slavery. And the people cried out. And when they did, God remembered, the Bible says, he remembered his covenant with them. He remembered his covenant with the people. And he delivered them. The Red Sea was parted. They came through on dry land. You know, what covenant says, what God's covenant love says, it's literally a mountain-moving grace that it burns within us the concept that, you know, I don't care what we've done in the past. God says, I don't care what you've done in the past. When you walk in the doors of grace and you walk into this church, this is the way we feel about you. We don't care what you've done in the past. We don't care what you've been in the past. We don't care anything about your past, literally. All we care about is that when you walk through those doors, you come into the knowledge of the fact that we are in covenant love with you, and we will never kick you when you're down. We will never kick you when you're down. Hallelujah. We will never do that because God doesn't do that. God's unconditional love is what we have to relish. We have to understand. The other day I was walking around and I said, Lord, make me a blessing to people today. Just make me a blessing wherever I go. Make me a blessing. And I went to the gas station and I was filling up the gas, and some man cried out. He said, hey, I like your coat. And I said, well, thanks. You know, I said, it's fake. I said, it's fake fur. I said, it's not real, but it sure is warm. And he started spouting out how he was really down. He was depressed. He went to Thanksgiving. And I mean, he's on the other gas tank, you know, here I'm filling up and he's on the other one. He said, I went to Thanksgiving and my daughter just sad. She didn't want to do anything for me. She said, oh, get your own food or whatever. And he was all depressed. And I said, oh, I'm so sorry. I said, I'm really sorry. And he goes, yeah, but I'm going to write a book. I said, good for you. I said, good for you. You go, you go. And I said, and furthermore, I said, Jesus really loves you. He's got a great plan for you. Jesus loves you. And he turned to me and he goes, all day, every day. And I said, this is what God wants us to walk in, is the foundation of the love of God. The love of God. That it doesn't matter what anybody else does to us. It doesn't matter how anyone else rejects us or hurts us or persecutes us. All day, every day, we know that we have entered into covenant with God, and we know that we are not under the law. were under God's grace. David was a man after God's own heart. And here's an example of a person who knew what covenant love was. He made a covenant with Jonathan, and he said, I cut this covenant with you, Jonathan, and I will do you good all the days of your life and afterwards even. And you know, when you cut covenant in the days of old, you cut covenant not with just that person, but you cut covenant with their family, you cut covenant with them after they died, and every member of the family after they died. And that's what Jonathan, when he died in battle, David looked and he says, where can I find someone to bless? Is there anyone from the house of Jonathan that I can bless? He was a man of covenant. He knew how to keep his commitments. He knew, just like God has kept his commitment to us to always love us, that gives us the foundation to be able to keep our commitments, to be able to love people with an agape, unconditional love. See, Jonathan, he died in battle with his father Saul, and so he was looking for someone to bless, and he found a little boy by the name of Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was a man who was crippled. The nursemaid had carried him, and through an accident, he had fallen when he was fleeing for his life. The nursemaid grabbed him, and accidentally he fell, and he was crippled. And so he was a rejected little boy in the eyes of the world, but God didn't reject him. God didn't reject him. He loved him. He loved him so much that he sent David to seek after him. And so he brought little Mephibosheth into the king's palace and said, Mephibosheth, you're going to sit at my table and you're going to eat all my food and you're going to live in my house because I want to favor you. I want to honor you because of the covenant that I made with Jonathan. Now, I'm telling you this. We are the righteousness of God. The Bible says, not by our works, but by faith in God's covenant love. David actually was such a man of covenant that even when his own son, Absalom, his very own son, Absalom, wanted to kill him, he did not lift up a finger against him. He did not want anything bad to happen to him. In fact, when he died, he cried out, he said, oh, Absalom, Absalom, my son Absalom, would that I would have died in your place. A man, a woman of covenant, a man, a woman of grace. What does it mean to have this kind of grace in our life? It literally moves mountains. It really does. This is a way to defeat paganism and terrorism. It's through the power of the Holy Ghost. It's through the grace and the love of God. It's through this love that is so powerful that it just overwhelms the darkness. There's another example of covenant. Samson literally was living in the lap of the world. He actually was living in the lap of the world with Delilah. He was living in the world system. And for a season, he left the covenant of God. But the cool thing about Samson is he made a comeback. When Delilah betrayed him, he made a comeback. And angels right now, God says, there's angels on a mission for everyone in this church. Angels on a mission that they're bringing you into position and bringing you back into the vision of the son and daughter of God. There's angels on mission to bring every one of you back that have fallen away. Delilah seduced him, and he caused him to break his covenant. He made a mistake. Don't let Delilah seduce you. Got to learn how to stand up to your Delilahs, no matter who they are. They could be even living in your home. They could be your own sons or daughters or wife or husbands. You just have to stand up. This is the way that I've learned to live. You work God great. You work his grace through through you as you live. You work it out. You work it out through fear and trembling. You work it out by speaking the positive, not the negative. You work it out by saying and calling those things that be not as though they were. Over every family member, over every situation, you call those things that be not as though they're. You literally become a pioneer. And that's how you establish God's covenant on this earth in the midst of darkness, is that you say it, you pray it, and then you obey it. You say it, you pray it, and then you obey it. You obey whatever God's telling you to do. Samson was living in the lap of the world. And Samson's hair, though, it's interesting, when he was in covenant with God, his hair was cut through Delilah. And then, in his dying moments, his covenant with God was reestablished. And he was asked to do something that in his day, it was unheard of. He was literally able to take the pillars of the building where he was standing in and push it down. Even though the world system had blinded him and he couldn't see anymore, they poked out his eyes. He was actually able in his dying days to take the pillars, and his strength had come back, and he came into covenant with God again, and his hair all grew back. And they didn't think anything of it, but God knew that covenant was reestablished. And so he prayed and he said, "Lord, in my dying moments, let me take down more enemies in my dying moments than I ever had in my life." And so as he prayed, he pushed the pillars of the building out and it collapsed and every Philistine died. I think to myself, how good are we at keeping covenant? We're only as good as we can receive that covenant love from God. If we receive that covenant love, that unconditional love from God, then we can know how to keep covenants in hard places. We can know how to do that. Now let me flesh this out a little bit. I believe that one of the reasons why covenant love is not more established in our life is because of an evil thing called rejection. Rejection is a very strong spirit. Rejection is a very strong spirit. I really, really believe this, that the reason why Samson fell is because he was plagued with a spirit of rejection. He just was afraid of what people would say. He was afraid of what Delilah would say. He was really afraid. He was afraid of what his wife or his lovey would say. It's really true. And he left the covenant all because he was afraid. He was filled with rejection. Many people walk around angry because they believe God has rejected them. But the cool thing about it is that God never rejects us. Never, ever, 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 ever rejects us. God literally loads our world with flowers. He hand delivers a bouquet of flowers to us every day. Then when rejections come, you know what? You will never be left short-petaled because you got the bouquet in your hands. Why did Cain kill Abel? Because rejection. He was rejected. His offering was rejected. To answer this question, it's to shed a little light on why most anger is in our life. A lot of anger can come because of just flat-out impatience, but the deep underlying, deep-seated angers are usually caused by rejection. Anger. Let me look at that situation with Cain. Cain offered something to the Lord, but it was rejected, and so we got angry. He was selfish, and he got angry. So strong was his anger that he wanted to kill. He wanted to kill Abel, his own brother. Now, anger in and of itself is not bad, you know, because the Bible says, be angry and sin not. Why is anger not bad? Because sometimes you just have to get righteously angered at at the devil and at ungodly things. Sometimes you just have to get righteously angered at them for you to be able to walk away from them. Okay? That's why the Bible says, be angry, but do not sin. If something is wrong, if something is an injustice, you have anger. There's a righteous anger that comes inside of you, and you don't want that. Okay? But there is an anger that's not a righteous anger. There's an anger that stems from rejection. And when that anger sets in, we become touchy and irritable. Have you ever gotten real irritable and real touchy about stuff? It's because the love tank is empty. The love tank gets empty. And that's why it's so important to bask in the presence of Jesus, to bask in the presence of the Lord, to receive His grace every day, to receive His flowers every day, to see that He loves you and that He's not rejecting you, and that He's patient, and that He's kind, and that His unconditional love is there for you. That's called living under grace, not under the law. It's called living under grace. Now, let me show you some examples of Joseph. The reason why I know this rejection causes anger is because Joseph, it says here, the sons of Jacob were rejected by their father. He pampered Joseph, but he neglected the sons. What was the result? The brothers got angry. Joseph's brothers saw that their father loved him more than all of the brothers, and so they hated him. They were angry at him because they were rejected. Think about Saul. Saul was rejected by his people. Because God had chosen David. So Saul was ticked off. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel 18, verse 7 and 8, Saul became angry because he thought God had rejected him. Do you know what? David, though, David got angry one time too. And it's fascinating here, if you study this, David's work was rejected by God. His plan was actually to build and to build the temple, but he also wanted to move the ark. And this man by the name of Uzziah actually touched what he shouldn't have touched. And so Uzziah died. And the Bible says David fumed. He was angry. He was literally angry at God. He said, why did you allow this? So I know that rejection actually can cause anger. Jonah, he didn't, this is fascinating, the Ninevites, you know, he thought they weren't worthy of mercy. And he just thought that. God loved them. God wanted them saved. God wanted them blessed. But God actually rejected Jonah's opinion, and it made Jonah very angry. Because God is a God of mercy. God is a God of mercy. Now, anger can be caused by other things too, stress and impatience. But the most bitter of anger, the most ungodly anger is caused from rejection. So how do we heal rejection? The only way to heal rejection is to free oneself from shame. Shame is actually a spirit that many people walk around with. They're clothed with it. If you're living under the law, you're clothed with shame. It's like you do nothing right. Other people don't do anything right. It's a spirit of rejection, and it's called a spirit of shame. And rejection, if rejection is there, what happens? Well, we become very angry at life if we don't get our way. If we don't get our way or if we don't get our say, we become very angry. But the deep-seated problem is called rejection. Have you ever asked this question? Why do I have to do this? Why do I have to spend the rest of my life paying for this one mistake? Why can't God just give me a job? I've done nothing wrong. People who curse him have jobs. I've served him all these years, and not even an interview. What is that speaking right there? Rejection. It's called a spirit of shame. It's rejection. And if rejection causes anger, what do you think is going to cure it? What's going to cure the anger? Acceptance. Acceptance. If we think God is harsh, if we think God is unfair, if we think that God is unmerciful, how will we live? Unmercifully. But if we know God is good, if we know God is kind, if we know God shows unconditional love to us, if we are living under grace and not under the law, how will we live? Giving people grace. You don't live under the frown of God, my friends. You live under the smile of God. Every one of us lives under the smile of God, because Zechariah 3:17 says, "He will rejoice over you with singing." Woo! You cannot keep people from rejecting you. They're going to do it, because people are just people. People are going to say things about you. People aren't going to understand you. They're going to reject you. But you can keep rejection from engulfing you or getting inside of you. By understanding God's acceptance and this unconditional grace of God, the patience of God for you, you know what? It's a free gift. The Bible says it's a free gift. We don't have to have a victim mentality any longer. I'm going to ask that you take a look at this scripture. And when I saw this scripture, it changed my life. Isaiah 61. Let's put this up. Isaiah 61, verse 7. God loves us, and God is constantly loving us into wholeness. God says, "Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs." I claimed that scripture about 3 years ago when we were going through so many financial decisions and roadblocks. I claimed that scripture, and I began to say it over and over and over again. I would say, instead of all my shame, I will receive double honor. Instead of all my shame, I shall receive double honor. Now, you can say this in every area of your life. And instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Do you know when we refinanced with the bank, they literally cut our mortgage in half? We received double. Literally. Do you know that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him? When you seek him by speaking those words out of your mouth and praying them, diligently understanding that God says, whatever you say, God will perform his word. Whatever comes out of your mouth, it's like a sharp two-edged sword. The angels hearken to that and they bring it to pass. Not only that, but God is so abundantly blessing us that I always say this scripture, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. How many of you ever say that scripture? The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. I say that over and over and over again over my life. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. Well, that happened too just several months or a month ago where Mr. Cole called us and gave us all the property around this land. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. God says, whatever wealth that you need, whatever relationship that you need, whatever financial healing or physical healing that you need to call it. And God says, instead of your shame, you shall receive double. Double for your trouble. Say that out. double for my trouble. Double for all the trouble that I've gone through. God's going to give me double. Now, how many of you have ever been rejected by anybody? Okay? Usually that causes you to feel shame inside. Shame. You feel shame, okay? And that leads to anger, seething anger, mad. You want to get mad at that person. You know, you may not say it out, but you don't want good things to happen to that person. You don't want good things to happen to that person. You're mad. It causes anger. Okay? Now, the way you get rid of that is by receiving the supernatural favor of God. Woo! You receive a supernatural favor of God. For God was with Joseph. He gave him favor. Look at all the rejection that God had that guy have to walk through. But God gave him favor. You can have favor. Hallelujah. God wants to give you favor today. God wants to bring down all the lies of the enemy and lift you up today. He wants you to believe for this supernatural favor, this mountain-moving grace. Okay? If you had rejection, though, rejection causes us to always think, well, I got to be careful to do things. Otherwise, something bad may happen to me. You know what? I just step out and make mistakes, and so what? If I make mistakes, I learn from them. I'm telling you the truth. That is the way to live, to be free from all that kind of rejection and persecution. And that's called living under the law. It's living under shame. And God doesn't want that for any of his children. God causes his acceptance to be around you because God shines his light upon you. God gives you favor through believing him. Working. So many of us have to work to get favor when God, all he wants us to do is to open our hearts to receive that favor. We don't have to work to get favor. We work because we have his favor. God gives me so much energy sometimes, I know where it comes from, but it's hard to believe that I have that kind of energy. I wake up and I go, praise God. God loves us. God loves us. God loves this family. God loves this church. God loves Milwaukee. God loves us. God's given us beauty for ashes, joy unspeakable and full of glory. And whatever we say, hallelujah, God will perform because of his great love for us. As long as you can find it in the Word, speak it out, you can have it. God says, if we hear something today, you've got to remember this, and I wrote this down. When God gives favor, it is like an armor. It's like an armor around us. It's like a shield around us when God gives us favor. Ruth had that kind of favor. In Ruth chapter 2, verse 2, it says, she had unmerited favor that was given to her through Boaz. And Boaz was the man who was designed literally to give her the leftovers. And she had what I call charis. That's the Greek word for favor. Don't you just love that word? Charis. Is that how to pronounce it? Charis. Charis. The Greek word is favor. Charis. If you want to say it and say it out loud in the Greek like Jesus, say charis. Charis. Jesus. Charis. I got Charis. That's such a beautiful name. What a beautiful name for a little girl. God says, be good to people because God highly favors you. Father, give me favor. Give me Charis. You know, it's okay to be God's favorite. Do you know? It's okay to be the favorite of God. Don't be afraid of anything because of the favor of the Lord being upon you. God literally says that he has crowned you with favor and glory. It's on you. Now, just because you're not wearing a physical crown doesn't mean you don't have that crown on you, because you seriously do. In the spirit realm, that's what you wear. That's why the devils tremble, because you wear the crown of favor, of charis. God will cause people to love you even when they don't know why. God will cause people to do things for you even when you don't understand why. People don't know why they are drawn to you, but that is because of God's favor. When you obey God, God will lift you up, and he will literally increase your favor over and over and over again. He will continue to do that. He will continue to increase your favor and your wisdom. God says we're ambassadors for Christ, not bums. We're ambassadors for Christ. Part of us kind of shies away from this, but let me tell you this. When you walk militantly in the Holy Spirit, God says everywhere you walk, people will favor you. Everywhere you walk, people will favor you. You don't have to bow down to demon spirits. Hallelujah. People can rake you over the coals, and you will say, I am highly favored by God. I mean, that is a place of mountain-moving grace. Thank God. Oh, boy. I mean, can you see yourself a little bit differently now? Today, I want you to see yourself the way God sees you, blessed and highly favored. Say that. I am blessed and highly favored. Hallelujah. I am blessed and highly favored. He says that over and over again, we can receive this. And I'm going to take you into a few scriptures to show you how you can understand this more fully. The way in which you can understand the favor of God is by looking at the book of Romans. And starting in the first chapter of Romans, and I'm going to give you a small little overview in just a few minutes of what we've been learning about a little bit on Wednesday nights. In the book of Romans chapter 1, it talks all about this thing called self-righteousness. And so many people want to be established in self-righteousness, but we can't make ourselves right. Only God can make us right. Only God can give us his favor. Only God can give us his grace, okay? And righteousness is something that we have to rely on Jesus for, all right? This grace, this mountain-moving grace, is what we rely on to help change our day. But Jesus literally took our punishment for us. He took the law, he took the curse, he took death upon his cross, he took it. And now what God says is that all men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So all people are literally living under the law, unless Jesus sets them free. All people are living under the law. Everyone is living under the law unless Jesus sets them free. That's why people feel this heaviness over them. Have you ever looked out upon the world and just wondered why this was happening? Because everyone's living under the law. Even those that are self-righteous, even those that, you know, are thinking, you know, huh, they're so good, what they are doing is they're putting themselves under the law. They're living in a self-righteous state, and no one can live up to the law perfectly. No one can meet that standard of Jesus Christ. All have fallen short of the glory. And so we are all literally apart from Christ, we're condemned. But the righteousness that God has given us through Christ Jesus qualifies us. And so what we need to do is we need to exchange the lie for the truth. What is this lie that we're living under? That we are not blessed and highly favored. That's a lie that the devil throws at us. That we're living under condemnation. We're living under death. We can't be righteous because we are not good enough to be righteous. And that's a lie. So don't ever lose sight of three things. Number one, what we are without God. What we are without God is pretty rotten because we're all living under the law. Okay? What we are with God. Remember, what we are with God is when God comes into our life, we become blessed and highly favored. We are literally his righteousness. Wherever we walk with the authority of God, and people just like us. And they don't know why. It's because Jesus lives in us. That's the truth. And then keep in mind, what we are to others is who Christ has shown to be to us. Okay? What we are with God is we are the righteousness of God. We are unconditionally loved, so we treat other people the same way. We treat other people the same way because Jesus has qualified us. Have you ever thought about this? In Romans chapter 3, verse 12, it says, "No one does good, no, not one." Now, how many of you think that you do a pretty good job cooking? Apart from Christ, we can't do anything. Did you know that every gift that was given to you, cooking, cleaning, singing, speaking, every gift, every single gift comes down from the Father of lights? Doesn't that make you humble? Every gift that you've received, everything that you're exalting in right now, every blessing that you have has come from God. It's all come from God. It's all about Jesus. Everything. You see, Jesus is the answer for the world today. Before him, there's no answer. Jesus is the way. Can't do it. None of us is perfect. But the law shows us our need for God. So when we put ourselves under the law, if you're feeling down, depressed, unworthy, rejected, guess what? That law, that oppression is pushing you down. All it is going to show you, you got to look up. You got to look up. You got to look up because your redemption is right there. Jesus is right there. God is your redeemer. The key to understanding righteousness is first to understand who we are without him and then who we are with him. If we understand who we are without him, that we're absolutely nothing, that none of the gifts that we have are owned by us, we don't qualify, we don't have it all together. Everything that we have is given to us by Jesus Christ, and everything that we live and move and have our being in is through Jesus Christ. He is our life. The Holy Spirit is our lifeline. When we start plugging into that power, we can do anything. Anything through Christ who strengthens us. We can become anything through Christ. We can say, we can live, we can move, we can have our being. We don't have to cow down to the world systems, to the Delilahs of life, whatever they are. Whatever world system may drag us down, we can be lifted up into the power of the presence of the Holy Spirit at any moment, at any time, because of Jesus. Remember, I said, it's so important that we understand if we don't see who we are without Christ, we will never understand the righteousness of God that God has qualified us with. So who we are without Christ is a poor, miserable sinner. But who we are with Christ, woo! Everybody say this, blessed and highly favored. I am blessed and highly favored. Hallelujah. That is the promise that God has for you, that you are blessed and you are highly favored, that God's hand of protection is over you, that God's anointed you for service in the kingdom of God. So what does that mean? Turn to Zechariah, and I'm going to close here today, okay? Now, when you know what obedience is? One of the definitions for the word obedience is faith, okay? You got to believe that what God says, okay, is true. And once you do, you step out and you act on it. Okay? Faith and obedience work together. They do. They work together. Okay? So if you are blessed and highly favored, how should you act when somebody rejects you? When someone persecutes you? When someone hurts you? You celebrate. Because you have a moment where you can bask in the fact that God has highly favored you. The Bible says rejoice when all men persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. Rejoice and be exceedingly happy, for what? Great is your reward in heaven. Woo! Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Do we have to live under that Saul spirit, that law spirit? Do we have to live under that? Never. Never. We don't have to get angry and throw spears at David. We don't have to get angry and throw spears at anyone, because we are blessed and highly favored. It is a shield around you. It is a protection for you. Say it again. I'm blessed and highly favored. What is the truth? I am blessed and highly favored by God. This is the righteousness that God says when we live under grace, we can express. Now, does that mean that we do everything right? No, we don't do everything right. Does that mean that we don't have to change sometimes? Yes, we do change sometimes. When God speaks to us, redirects us, replants us, moves us, whatever, we can change. Why can we change? Because we're blessed and highly favored. We can hear the anointing of God. We can hear the purposes of God. We can hear the plans of God. We can go where God wants us to go. We can obey because we're blessed and highly favored. We're His child. We have this unconditional love that's always surrounding us. Praise God Almighty. We're not under the law. We're under grace. And we can move with God's grace. We can change by His grace. Whatever mountain is afflicting you, whether it be an addiction in your flesh, do you know what's going to alleviate that? If you're addicted to pornography, or if you're addicted to drugs, or you're addicted to alcohol, you know what's going to overcome that? Grace. Grace. Being blessed and highly favored by God. Hallelujah. Who wants to take a drink when you got the Most High? Woo-hoo-hoo. I'm blessed and highly favored. I know I'm blessed and highly favored. Who wants to take a drink when you're blessed and highly favored? Who wants to get high when you got the Most High? What in the world would you need if you're relishing the fact that God has highly favored you? It's only when you go deep down into that rejection. It's only when you go down into that pit that the devil digs. Don't go there. Don't listen to those lies. You're blessed and highly favored. Hallelujah. You're blessed and highly favored. You do need to hear that over and over, though. You need God. You need God to speak that to you over and over and over again. You need God's voice to tell you that. Oh, yes, we do. And God's designed us to be interconnected with Him, to be dependent upon Him, so that we need Him to speak that to us daily, and we hear it. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. And I'm going to read this scripture, and then I'm going to sing this song that's going to defeat the devil today. The Bible says this in the book of Zechariah. Then the angel who talked with me returned and wakened him as a man is wakened from a sleep. And he asked me, "What do you see?" I answered, I see solid gold lampstands with a lamp with a bowl at the top and seven lights on it. Sounds like Christmas to me. And seven channels to the lights. Also, there are two olive trees by it, one on the right side and the other on the left. And I asked the angel who talked with me and said, "What are these, my lord?" He answered, "Do you not know what these are?" "No, my lord," I replied. And so he said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Who are you, O mighty mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become level ground. Then he will bring out the capstone with shouts of grace. God bless it. Grace. God bless it. Grace. God bless it." You know what God was saying right there? That every mountain will be made low by us crying out through our words and through our actions and through our life through the thoughts of our mind, grace, 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 grace. I've got grace. I've got God's grace. Grace, 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 grace. Speak it into the atmosphere. Speak it over your mind. If you're feeling squirrely one day when you wake up and your mind is going nuts and it's darting around and it's thinking about this and that and the other thing that's so bad and this and that, stop it. Stop your mind from thinking that and start saying, cry out, Jesus, grace, 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 mercy, grace. Shout it out. It says, O mighty mountain, before Zerubbabel, you will become a plain, and he will bring out, I'm going to read it here. So he answered and said, this is the word of the Lord, not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Let's read it together. I want us to read it together in chapter, can you read it in verse 4, verse 7? Is that okay if you put it up? This is the key scripture right here. Verse 7 is so important. Ooh. This is where the answer is. When we use our mouth to speak something other than what we see, we've got to speak out something other than what we see. Jesus called things that be not as though they were. Jesus said, speak grace to the mountain, and it will become a level plain. Speak grace to the mountain. So what does that mean? Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. He shall bring forth the capstone. What's that? The building, the foundation of any building is the capstone. And so God says he's going to bring the deliverance to you if you shout grace to your problem. And how do you do that in practical terms? Your mind is acting squirrely. Your thinking is going nuts. You speak grace to it. You say, Lord, grace, grace. I am not rejected. I am filled with favor, the favor of God. And you speak it out. Okay? You speak it out. I am filled with the grace of God. The grace of God comes and is overwhelming me. I am highly favored. Say that out of your mouth. I am highly favored by God Almighty. Everywhere I go, people like me because I declare God's grace. I am not rejected. I am accepted in the beloved. Whoo! That's how you do it. That's how you do it. You cry out grace. My wife, my husband, my children, my family accept me. I love them unconditionally. And then you begin to speak the positive over every negative that you see. I'm telling you, this works. You may not think it right now, but do it and you'll see it. Your husband is acting ornery. You go and prophesy and you say, you are a blessing to me. I love you and you're a great blessing to me. They don't know what to do with that. Grace, 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 grace. Okay? You're fumbling around. You're trying to find the keys. You can't find. You lost everything. Instead of saying, I always lose everything. I can't find anything. Nothing ever goes right. Say, oh, well, I'll move it on. I'm blessed and highly favored. Just move right on. Just move right on. Don't take your mistakes so seriously. You're blessed. You're highly favored. Don't get down when accidents happen. Know who you are in Christ and just move right on. Just move ahead. And I'm gonna say this until you get it today. The devil will always try to put something in you, in your path. Either it's rejection from other people or the rejection of yourself, where you reject yourself because you're not perfect. And it causes anger inside of you. It causes you to get angry with yourself. Oh, oh, oh. why can't I do it right? It's because you're rejecting yourself. Instead, say, I'm blessed and highly favored. Hallelujah. All things are working together for good. My God is able to do this. Jesus, cry grace to it and speak it out. And I'm going to say this over and over and over again. If people are rejecting you, if they don't understand you, just ignore it and hear the words of the Father. And the words of the Father are, you are blessed and highly favored. Hear that sink right into your spirit right now. You are blessed and highly favored. You are blessed and highly favored. Hallelujah. I want to sing this song because this song is birthed out of this scripture here. And I believe that it will burn that right down into your heart. Hallelujah. If you want to come to the altar and kneel...